Here's a story from The World.
President Trump welcomed officials from Bahrain, Israel, and the United Arab Emirates this afternoon for a signing ceremony at the White House.
We're here this afternoon to change the course of history. After decades of division and conflict, we mark the dawn of a new Middle East. Thanks to the great courage of the leaders of these three countries, we take a major stride toward a future in which people of all faiths and backgrounds live together in peace and prosperity.
The Abraham Accords are what these agreements are being called. They mark a change for two Arab Gulf states. Bahrain and the UAE are normalizing relations with Israel. In the past, Arab leaders insisted that the Palestinians and a Palestinian state would have to be part of any deal with the Israelis. But that is not what's happening now, as the world's Shirin Jafari reports.
A few days ago, hotel owners in the UAE capital, Abu Dhabi, got a letter from the Department of Culture and Tourism. It asked the hotel owners to start including kosher meals on their menus and to designate a separate area in the kitchen for preparation of kosher food. This would have been unthinkable not long ago, but it's one example of what normalization between Arab Gulf states and Israel looks like on the ground. The UAE-Israel deal will include other things like direct flights, tourism, economic investments, and more. Until recently, Israelis' ties with some Gulf states were the region's worst-kept secret, says Khalid Ilgindi. He's with the Middle East Institute in Washington.
In the past, those relationships were kind of under the table. Now they're announcing to the world that they're openly having these relations.
The Arab states didn't publicize their dealings with Israel in part because of the Arab Peace Initiative drawn up by the Saudis in 2002. In that accord, Arab nations endorsed the idea of normalizing ties with Israel if the Israelis ended their occupation and gave the Palestinians a state of their own.
So that's why many Palestinians are upset, because they view this as violating the Arab consensus. And for Palestinians, it's kind of giving away an important piece of leverage that they have.
Since the announcement of the deal with the UAE, Israel appears to be backing away from annexing the West Bank, at least for now. But for many Palestinians, that's hardly a victory.
It's a stab in the back, to be quite honest.
Diana Boutu is a lawyer based in the West Bank.
The idea that we see countries like the UAE and Bahrain normalizing with Israel, what they're really in effect doing is saying that Israel's behavior is acceptable when it's actually not acceptable. International law says that it's not acceptable.
Boutu is a former spokeswoman with the Palestinian Liberation Organization. She says in the past, when the two other Arab countries, Jordan and Egypt, signed peace agreements with Israel, they got back land that Israel had seized.
But in this case, this hasn't happened at all.
So what are these two Gulf states getting in return?
The UAE is the proverbial fox that has many, many different ideas, many different agenda items.
Hussein Ibish is with the Arab Gulf States Institute, a think tank in Washington. He says the UAE is keen to counter Iran and Turkey, its two regional rivals. And Ibish says the Emiratis are looking to purchase high-tech weaponry from the U.S.
That is the F-35 fifth-generation fighter, the Growler electronic warfare plane, Reaper drones with precision guidance, and other things. And they've been assured they're going to get that.
For Bahrain, though, the wish list is shorter, he says.
For Bahrain, it comes down basically to one issue, which is Iran and strengthening the coalition against Iranian hegemony.
Ibish says in the past few years, the Gulf states have seen the U.S. take a step back from the region. President Trump has consistently said he wants the U.S. military out of the Middle East.
UAE, Bahrain, and Israel are all looking to forge closer regional relationships, even with countries that a few years ago they would have thought it's impossible, precisely in the context of a waning U.S. presence.
Don't expect anything like a NATO alliance, he says, but do expect an increase in the country's intelligence sharing and surveillance technology. That worries Maryam Al-Khawaja. She's a human rights activist from Bahrain who was forced into exile in Denmark because of her activism.
I mean, we've already seen in the past how the Gulf states and other countries in the Middle East and North Africa have benefited from buying surveillance technology and other forms of technology from the Israeli government that they've used to oppress their own local populations.
A Canadian research group, for example, found that the Saudis used Israeli mobile phone spyware to target dissidents, activists and journalists abroad. Khawaja says some Bahrainis have expressed anger about the kingdom's deal with Israel, even though dissent is likely to get them into trouble.
We're looking at oppressive, absolute monarchies who control everything. And therefore, what the monarchies do represent only themselves and not the populations.
The Trump administration is hoping that today's normalization deals with Israel will open the door to other Arab states. The big question is Saudi Arabia. The kingdom did allow an Israeli plane to fly over its airspace recently. The Gulf state of Oman has applauded Bahrain's decision to sign an agreement with the Israelis, a sign that it could be next. For The World, I'm Shirin Jafari.